Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies, big episode for you, a Hulk-sized episode of Fat Guys, the Movies. And we're also going to see what's happening, or we're not going to see what's happening.
I don't think anyone's seen what's happening.
I don't know if anyone knows what's happening.
And then we're not talking about, you know what would be great? I'm going to derail from the beginning. Before we even give the number to call us at.
Right.
I'm going to derail. Wouldn't it be great, instead of the movie The Happening, if they would have made M. Night Shyamalan direct the big screen version of What's Happening?
What's Happening?
Wasn't J.J. Walker in that?
I have no idea.
He's like, is he dead yet?
That's before my generation.
That's right.
That's back when, like, you and the dinosaurs.
Thank you. You just alienated Woodstock. Half of our listeners.
What?
All six of them.
No, our listeners are all like 15, dude.
No, and your mom.
And my mom.
And your aunt.
My mom's not offended.
And
my
Gerard
aunt's not
Butler.
Offended. My aunt's.
We haven't talked about poo yet. Your mom always gets offended at poo.
We haven't talked about poo yet.
See, we've completely derailed. Not only have we completely derailed, we have talked about poo. Before we even give the number.
Before we even give the information of where you can get a hold of us. So let's do that now. Get it out of the way. We'll continue to offend people afterwards. If you would like to get a hold of us, you can go to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also go over to iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can also email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com, and give us a call, 614-388-8735. We have a call again this week that we're going to play during the internet-only segment.
A user review. Somebody has called in and given us a review of The Incredible Hulk, but we're going to give ours first because
our opinions are the ones that really matter.
Exactly. And we are in the magical studio in the sky, and this guy is somewhere in Bangladesh or something like
that. No, he's in Austin, Texas.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because he was going to... You know what?
If he got the Ain't It Cool.
Could we get him?
News.com.
Can we suggest? I wouldn't suggest this. I could get sued for this, but I think it would be cool if somebody were to throw a pie in Harry Knowles' face and then send us a picture.
Yeah. You know what, though? Let me tell you a little Harry Knowles story real quick. It sounds like a good idea to do something mean to Harry Knowles because he's such a big celebrity. But once you meet the guy, you're like, I don't feel like punching him in the face.
Oh, I didn't say punch him in the face.
Or
cream
throwing
pie.
A pie.
I'm like, watching the Three Stooges right
he's
now.
He's such a nice dude.
Like, I'm sure he is.
In person, he's just like a jolly guy.
Yeah.
He's just a, you know, he's very jolly, but a lucky bastard.
Okay. Then don't throw a pie
at Don't throw a pie at Harry Knowles. He's a cool dude.
Throw a pie at Neil Miller's.
That's fine. You can throw a pie at me because I'm kind of a.
If you throw a pie at Neil Miller, I will give you one of my DVDs.
Just any one of your DVDs?
I'm not going to tell you which one it is.
Random.
It could be
DVDs?
Really terrible. But
okay, fair enough.
It could be a blank DVD.
It's that third copy of Over Her Dead Body that you have sitting around.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we have a biggest reject loser update?
Well, we played racquetball today.
Yeah, and the results from that, Kevin.
Well, you won two times, but I also was not the one who had three heart attacks.
I had three mild heart attacks during the. But you know what? I was a trooper. I finished both the matches.
Yeah, after you like went out of there, you got a drink. A half hour later, he comes back. He's like, hey, there's a really hot girl doing yoga next door. You must go get a drink. And I go to the drinking fountain. The funniest thing, I go to the drinking fountain to get a drink. And yes, there was a hot girl doing yoga. Yeah. And I get a drink. And the water was warm. You drank all the cold water in the process of watching this girl.
I needed the cold water for stuff. I mean.
Okay, that sounds really inappropriate.
I needed to replenish. Yeah. But yes, I did win. And we're actually planning some various stunts potentially with our health club where we can, I don't know, you'll hear more about it. But
yes,
you may be seeing some of our progress very soon.
It'll be embarrassing. But yeah, the thing is, Neil did win handily both games.
Yeah.
But he had to stop every 6 or 7 minutes.
I obviously played a lot harder because I almost died.
No, you just are in less shape. It was hysterical because you get up there and you're like, okay, it's 2-3. And he like stands it, and then his head goes between his legs. And I'm like, are you okay? He's like, I'm having chest pains. Call medic alert.
I'm getting a personal trainer. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah, that'll
so,
work.
So anyways, our first movie this week is one that neither one of us have seen.
You can introduce it.
Yes, it is. It is The Happening from M. Night Shyamalan, whatever.
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
His latest thriller is about a world where a lot of people die.
I don't know if any of you guys have heard about this article in the New York Times. Well, apparently, honeybees are just disappearing all over the country. All right, let's hear some theories about why this might be happening.
Homeland Security and the CDC
has reported attacks. Boston, Philadelphia,
Maryland. White House officials claim the CIA has a defense against chemical weapons. I don't understand what you're saying. She says everyone's dead outside.
Ultimately, we can't say a whole lot about the movie because we didn't see it. And yes. While there were screenings...
You're right. They did screen it for some press.
They were not where we could have seen them. Ironically, I did get a call and been told that there was a yes. screening that I was approved to go to that started 6 hours before I got the call.
So the nice people at Fox are hopefully looking out for us the next time, yeah. ultimately looking out for all of you so that we can tell you about the film.
Which is a real shame because I love Shyamalan's work, yeah. With the exception of Unbreakable.
Right. I like it's funny because all we have to go on are the few emails that I've gotten from some of the readers out there. And the few things that I've heard from other people, you know, people in LA and New York, and right now, not all of it's good, but it's all coming secondhand. So it's like I haven't seen the movie, but all I'm hearing is it's not that good. It's not that, you know, it's
well,
I've
in
heard
general.
Everything from it's not as good as his other stuff to it's a piece of trash. But that was just someone who's just really angry at the world. So.
Well, but there's also, admittedly, M. Night Shyamalan's work does. Rub some people the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think in general, critics are done with him. They are so tired of his stuff. And you can't believe necessarily what fans, quote unquote, fans say on the internet because they trounce over everything. I mean,
right.
they complain and complain and complain about like Indiana Jones.
If their
Jones
own mother made a movie, they would trash it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm not defending the movie because I haven't seen it. But I right. will. I'm going to guess a couple things. First of all, there's going to be long, drawn out scenes,
and a lot of staring.
There's going to be a lot of staring
between Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel, who's very hot.
Who's
by the
totally
way.
Hot, totally hot. Yeah. You can come. Zooey Deschanel can leave us a voicemail, and she should review the movie for us.
Right? Why not? So. She's in it. She knows more about it than anybody.
Absolutely. And I'll bet you there's a surprise ending.
Maybe a twist of some kind.
And I am betting that M. Night Shyamalan shows up on screen longer than he should.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of promos for it, and it doesn't look bad. I mean, the whole concept behind it, you know, it's hard to say exactly what it is that's causing all these people to die, other than, you know...
It's Dane Cook.
It's Dane Cook's comedy. It's forced people to jump off.
You know the scene where they're jumping off the
there's
girders?
There's a TV on top with Dane
on
Cook.
On top, Dane Cook's going, yeah, what about Cabbage Patch Dolls? What about those?
Okay, I don't have a response.
You have
to
no
this.
Response.
Other than it was at least interesting to me.
Well, they're promoting it heavily as his first R-rated movie. So I'm like, there better be some... pretty cool things like
right.
like some nudity I would appreciate with Zooey Deschanel, not Mark Wahlberg. If I have to see some guy's junk on screen again, I'm going to be upset.
Right.
But it could be that. It could be some violence.
We've had a lot of junk.
And what's really funny is if you watch the trailers for those, the ones that promote it as an R-rated film, it's that the is in red and I think happenings in white.
Right.
And then they put the MPAA R logo and the box is in white and the R is in red.
Right. So it's like, I don't know.
Anyways, I'm actually gonna give a preemptive suck.
We have to give it a preemptive suck. That's the rule. You can head over to filmschoolrejects.com on over the weekend. Kevin's review will be there because he's gonna go see it. But otherwise, preemptive suck, we'll see.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about the Incredible Hulk.
Kevin, since we have figured out what is happening this weekend.
You look like you're going to meditate.
I am going to meditate. I'm going to meditate over not seeing an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It brings me peace.
Oh, wow. That was a review in itself.
But speaking of meditating, we're talking about a peaceful man with a beast inside. He is the Incredible Hulk.
Did you have that written down?
Nope.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
And in this film... I'll go ahead and just introduce the clip. Why not?
Why not?
Edward Norton stars as a troubled Bruce Banner searching for a cure from hulking out.
We've never seen anything even close to your level of exposure.
That you survived an event like that, it's beyond my comprehension.
I don't want to control it. I want to get rid of it.
As far as I'm concerned, that man's whole body is property of the U.S. Army.
Thank you.
And there you go.
Yeah.
That's that. There you go. There you have that. That is the trailer. I have nothing else to say.
You have nothing else to say. You have no review. You're like,
I'm just kidding.
You had the whole peaceful man with a beast
inside.
Well,
I introduced the clip, so I thought maybe you'd go first, but I will go first.
I'll let you go first. I'm a big enough man to do that, even though I weigh less than you now.
Fair enough.
And I don't have heart attacks during racquetball
You've
games.
Not had any heart attacks yet this week. I've had three today. But anyways, this was a great surprise to me. The Incredible Hulk, I had some very low expectations. And really coming out of Iron Man and how good Iron Man was, you know, it lived up to the extremely high expectations that I think we all had for it.
Well, and you had ridiculously high
expectations. And for it to live up to
I do recall after Iron Man, you did have a melancholy moment.
Melancholy a little bit. But that was just because I thought that it was going to be so awesome, and then it was. And it's like, what did I really expect?
You're like, I can't wait to have sex with the homecoming queen. And you do, and it was awesome. You're like, well, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Could it have been better than awesome?
With this one, I went to the prom, and there was a way hotter girl there than the homecoming queen. Or the prom queen.
And
I got to make out with her.
And what was your date's name? What was his name again?
Wow. Very funny. But anyways,
The Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk. Sorry, I keep losing my train of thought here. But with The Incredible Hulk, I went into it with a little bit lower expectation, kind of thinking there's no way Marvel can get it right twice in a row. You know, there's no way that this can really live up to it, because I'm not really that interested in the Hulk, whereas with Iron Man, I was like, gung-ho, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were, like, inappropriately
because
interested.
I'm very interested in the character. I've read the comics. But the Hulk, not as much. But I will tell you this. It is very entertaining. It proves once again that a well-cast superhero movie can work. Mm. And as well, I look at Louis Leterrier, who directed The Transporter 2 and the first Transporter.
No, he did the first. He did the second
one. He co-directed the first one.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
they have somebody else's name on the DVD box.
It's, I don't know. But
Steven Seagal.
Not Steven Seagal.
Andy Dick.
Not Andy Dick.
Pauly Shore.
Stop.
Danny DeVito.
But you can tell that Louis Leterrier definitely has a good eye for pacing in a movie. There's a lot more action in this one. When you look at this compared to Ang Lee's Hulk, it just blows it away as far as entertainment value, as far as the depth of the characters, the casting. I mean, I believe that Edward Norton could be a scientist, whereas Eric Bana, like, he's kind of the badass that could probably, like, beat you up without hulking out, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas... Mm-hmm. You know, Edward Norton is kind of a little bit more of a geeky, internalized, intelligent kind of guy.
He should have had the giant swastika on his shirt. On
I
his
don't know if that
chest.
Would have really worked.
That would have been awesome.
So, and I also really love Liv Tyler in this movie. She's a very warm quality about her. You know, you can tell why the Hulk stops when she steps in front of him. Why he doesn't smash her.
Although that would have been really cool.
Although that would have been
funny. She would have been like, please stop. Yes. And he like crushes her head like a grape.
Yes.
That
and
would
finally,
be so cool.
The last one that worked was Tim Roth. I think Tim Roth was a very good villain for this film.
I thought he was an abomination.
He was. Well, I mean, literally an abomination. So I really liked it. I'm totally ready to just go out on a limb and say this is an awesome superhero movie.
Okay, are you done?
I think so.
Can I speak now that you've been talking for like 18 minutes straight?
Sure.
Okay. I had a rare moment of generosity letting Neil speak so long.
Yeah, I know.
So
your turn.
Okay. I liked this. Ultimately, what's weird is I didn't absolutely hate Ang Lee's Hulk. There were certain things about it that were fun. Mm-hmm. The Hulk out moments were cool. I mean, come on. It's a giant green monster beating the crap out of things.
Yeah.
And
sure.
But ultimately, the Hulk is a very different character in this movie than it was in Ang Lee's version.
I will agree.
In the sense that he's not doing the thing where he's leaping continents, which right. he did in Ang Lee's thing.
Yeah, that was a little weird that he could like jump. I mean, I get the whole running fast thing,
but
him,
that's
like,
been done in the comic books. I mean, that's a precedent. You can do that. It's not that he violated anything.
Okay.
Ang Lee's problem was that he had mutant poodles. You know,
right.
and I was actually telling somebody today, somebody asked me about the Hulk, and I said, you know what? In the first one, you know, if you just went with like, even just like a Jack Russell Terrier,
right?
I could believe that as being scary, 7 feet tall. But the poodle was just a bad decision from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, and Nick Nolte is sort of like the drunk crystal meth induced crazy guy.
Right.
Got crazy, and this one was just a much more cohesive movie. It was a real movie that you can actually watch and understand.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I thought I agree with you. I think that the acting was good. I thought that the depiction of the Hulk was good. I thought they did a good job with that. And the action was great.
Right.
And unlike Transformers last year, when they have the epic battle between the Hulk and the Abomination,
I knew this was coming.
They're actually on the screen fighting each other.
They're in frame.
Yeah,
I will agree, was very good.
I was kind of interested. I was curious as I'm watching. I'm like going, wow, this is really cool. I wonder if they're going to actually put Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf in the foreground talking to a car during the big Hulk scene. Because the epic battle, that's what they did in Transformers.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. I got distracted because our producer Richard is getting ready to eat noisy food in front of us. What do you mean you're not going to? You got a plate of nachos there. There's nothing unnoisy about this unless you soak them and put them in the microwave. Okay, you were okay there, but you see sitting like getting ready. Okay.
But anyways,
I like the Hulk a lot. And what I thought was cool, having just watched a bunch of the episodes of the old TV show,
right?
I thought it had a very, very fair and better than I ever would have expected paying homage to the old TV show.
Yeah, it really was. And I thought it also played a little bit to Ang Lee's Hulk a little bit. There was a few elements of it there.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. The good parts.
Yeah, I mean the best parts were there, and I thought the story was simple, which
exceedingly simple.
The same way I felt about Iron Man is it was a very simple story, and that works in this context. You put a good cast and a solid director and a lot of good action to a simple story, and it works. Whereas when you try and get really tricky with it, a la Spider-Man 3,
well,
you mess things up.
I also think that you made a point. We were talking about this. Not on the show, but a while back, right after Iron Man.
Other times, yes, during the week.
But it was after Iron Man came out, and you made the point, Marvel Studios is doing their own stuff.
Yes.
And I think that is the best thing that happened. Ironically, you'd think that DC would have gotten their crap together.
Right.
Because they're owned by Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers makes a movie, so Warner Brothers should have figured this out a long time ago, because it's all internal.
Right.
And the struggle with all the Marvel stories was like back when the first Hulk came out, they were like, well, you got Fox doing a couple of them, you know, like Daredevil and X-Men, and you got Universal doing the Hulk, and you got Sony doing Spider-Man. So you got all these studios doing, so the chance of crossover isn't that good. But the essence of interest in comic books is the crossover and the fact that you have characters showing up in each other's movies, and they're not looking like weird, stuff like from Batman Forever and stuff like that, and Batman and Robin, and they're finally getting that together now. If you've seen Iron Man, there's the little tag at the end that nods.
There's another moment in the Hulk that's very similar.
Yeah, and I actually look forward to the slate coming out 2009, 2010, 2011 when they're starting to bring all these characters together, and they're not all just completely living in a vacuum in their own movies.
Right, because it feels like they're all existing in the same universe.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. And it makes me a little bit more excited for the Avengers, assuming they continue on the path that they're on and keep the same casts, at least. You know, I mean, if Robert Downey Jr. just kind of goes away and they come back with Iron Man 2 and the Avengers with a totally different actor, there's a good chance that won't work.
As long as it's a good actor. I mean, they can switch out actors, but if they bring in somebody like, say, Dan Fogler, is not going to work as Iron
Man. But just, Peter Dinklage will.
Peter Dinklage could totally do Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely be like Little Iron Man.
Lil Iron Man. Awesome.
Yes, or Lil Hulk.
Lil Hulk? Awesome. I would totally love to see Peter Dinklage.
Why wasn't
Hulk
Peter Dinklage in this movie?
He'd be like,
I think we should dedicate
He'd be
some
a 5 foot tall Hulk when he hulks out.
He'd be like a normal sized guy. But turns into Lou Ferrigno, literally.
That would be cool. That would be totally cool. No, but I liked the Hulk, and also I like the fact that they at least acknowledge the fact that his pants don't get bigger.
Right.
Because
and there's also a little homage to the purple pants.
There is.
It's in there. Yes. So.
Whereas like in all the other Hulks, and it's like he grows, and it's just like what?
Right. So anyways, I'm giving it a totally rocks.
I'm gonna give it a rocks as well.
Awesome. When we come back, we're gonna talk a little box office.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah.
as we always do every week now that we've gotten the movie reviews out of the way.
We party! No. Aren't we playing Lindsay Lohan's new music?
We should play the Lindsay Lohan's new song. But I don't like the when they send you the promo song, it's got like the guy in it that like talks over the song and he's
only
like,
for Lindsay Lohan releasing this fall.
Right. The song's not that good though. It's called Bossy.
Totally not that good.
Although if we remixed it with us saying inappropriate things in her chorus, way better.
You know, kind of like with when they like had the Titanic song by Celine Dion and they threw in all the sounds from the movie and it's like, oh, it makes me remember. He said there'd be like Lindsay Lohan, I bet. I'm like, and you can say just weird things like,
right.
You know what? I got to tell you something. I was at the gym the other day because I do work out. This is how I stop.
I work out too. I just,
you obviously don't.
I'm obviously in terrible shape.
What is your workout? You're like, oh, I walked from the car to the bistro and I got a smoothie with protein, whatever. Anyways. So they have these. We've talked about these before. They have these cool elliptical cross trainers that you can plug your headphones in and watch TV during them. Right. And it has like all of the movies.
And they have to continually remind you that you cannot order adult content.
Those. I'm like, I can't get pleasure partners on. Yeah. So what happened was I'm watching. I'm flipping, and it looked so weird and probably creepily inappropriate because here I am, this fat guy sweating.
I mean, panting, that right there is enough.
And I'm watching Living Lohan. Have you ever seen
Living La Vida Lohan?
Isn't
that what it's called?
No, it's called Living Lohan, not Living La Vida Lohan.
I thought that's what it was with the mom.
Yeah, it's about her sister. Oh, right. My God. If there's nobody that you ever wanted to just like drop into a vat of acid, it'd be... It'd be Dina Lohan. And then I think that you could like salvage. Is it Allison? Is that her sister?
Allie Lohan.
Allie. Yeah. I think you could actually salvage her.
Because she's still so young.
Well, yeah, because she's still somewhat impressionable. But Dina Lohan, this woman needs to be run over by a steamroller. This woman is an idiot.
I think this is your next, like, the last celebrity whose career you pretty much ruined.
And it was my fault.
Was Dane Cook.
Dane Cook, that's right.
So I think Dina Lohan should be your next target, although we can't really tie her into Film School Rejects, so we might have to start an anti-Dina Lohan blog.
Well, she does nothing involved with film. Because what they're doing with Ali Lohan is they're
trying
to... I'm
going to buy this right now. DropDinaInAcid.com.
Yes!
And that we'll let you awesome. Blog daily about all the reasons why you hate Dina Lohan.
She's just an idiot. Well, the episode I was watching, it showed her... Allie was like getting teased at school, and this girl's an idiot because her mom doesn't like. She has a cell phone, and everyone keeps calling her and texting her cell phone, going, "You're an idiot. Your sister's a slut." And she's like, "Well, hello. I mean, did you just call me?" I'm like, "Just don't answer the phone, and don't give out your phone number. You absolute moron."
Right.
And then just like turn off, just disconnect your cell phone. And then she's like, "Oh, well, she has dreams, and she's doing what she's dreaming at 14." I'm like, "Yeah, when she's 24, she's going to be making home sex tapes." That's just all there is to it. Because this girl is like the less talented sister of Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
And she's not all that talented, Lindsay Lohan. I mean, she's a good actress.
Who, Lindsay Lohan? Is not when that talented?
She's not very talented. Not in song.
She
music.
Was an okay singer. Like, her first album was okay.
Was okay. But then as an actor, she's actually was good when she was younger and like actually people challenged
better
her.
Than, like, Mean Girls and the one where she played two parts.
Well, now she's, now what, I Know Who Killed Me?
No, not I Know Who Killed Me.
She did play two parts. You're talking about The Parent Trap, then.
The Parent Trap. Yeah, The Parent Trap. Yeah. Not the I Know Who Killed Me, where she played the stripper that didn't take her clothes off.
Yeah.
What kind of oxymoron is that?
I think I went to one club like that. I stormed out.
Right. What kind of stupid crap plot is that?
A stripper who doesn't take her clothes off? A
stripper that doesn't take her clothes off.
So anyways, the whole thing was just my general hatred for Dina Lohan. And she is, and then she like is doing a web chat with her son because Allie's getting teased at school, and so she's talking to her son who's now at college, and he's like, "Well, I had to walk by people's locker where they had pictures of Lindsay of my sister in there, and I got all mad." I'm like, "Your sister posed for him. These aren't like, you know, like snapshots on a topless beach,
right?
In Greece that she didn't think anyone was there. No, I mean, this was her like in Maxim, and you're just like, how can you get mad at that? It's sort of like I remember when." What's her name? The one whose you have lying at home.
Oh, wow. Now we can't even talk about it.
I'll bleep that out. I don't
want anyone to know.
I'll bleep that out.
Just bleep out what I have.
Yeah, I'll bleep it out. Well, trust me, it'll be safe.
I'm creeped out now. Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano.
Who I've met and is a really, really
nice. Oh, no, I'm sure she's really nice. And she's beautiful, too.
Yeah.
But back in, like, the early 90s... Back in like the early 90s, she did the movie Embrace of the Vampire.
Yeah.
Where she was like totally naked.
Did the lesbian scene in it.
Yeah, and she was like 19.
And she didn't want anybody to see the lesbian scene?
Well, she's totally nude in it. And then it was right then that the internet started in like the late 90s. And
people figured out that they could cut that scene out and slow it down.
Well, what they did is they like were taking screen grabs and putting it all over the internet.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And she went nuts and like... Because her like younger brother had ran into it.
Oh, I remember this.
And she like really made a stink and actually got most of them. Now you can still find them because
they're totally out there.
Yeah, and you can probably go to YouTube and type in Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano naked.
Naked on Embrace the Vampire. But yeah, there's that whole thing where it's just kind of like, well, you kind of did the scene.
Yeah.
And she was able to do it in the sense that she was able to get the studio, I think, who made the movie. To send the letters of, hey, you have restricted...
Right, to send the angry... we've gotten a couple of those in film school projects. Yeah. But it's not for, like, nude scenes. It's usually, like, Star Wars trailers.
Well, it's like when I'm nude.
Well, yeah. Most studios just ask if we could just not send Kevin to
there
all
was,
the events.
There was... I did get a complaint
especially
from...
Especially Disney. They're like, he's not family friendly.
Weird enough, I did get a complaint from somebody who works at a, let's just say, an alternative lifestyle paper. Who complained about my picture on Fat Guys at the Movies.
Who probably doesn't listen to our show, so we're fair to talk about it, I guess.
Yeah, and he was like, why do you have that
picture?
Didn't
understand why you're naked on the front of Fat Guys at the Movies.
He seemed really offended, and I'm like, well.
I say more Kevin Carr nudity, because that only makes me look better. I mean, there's...
Until I get cut, like, I'm going to look like the Hulk. Uh-huh. Only yep. instead
on,
of...
And you know what? On that day, I will get out of my wheelchair and celebrate with you. So, there you go.
What are we talking about?
The box office.
What's on the schedule?
We're talking about last week how Kung Fu Panda messed with the Zohan and messed up the Zohan's face at the box office. But the Zohan did do very well. Kung Fu Panda, $60 million. Zohan, $38 million. Indiana Jones, $22 million. And then Sex and the City and The Strangers, really disappointed for Iron Man, came in sixth.
Oh.
I mean, it's only been out for a month now.
It's cracked 290 million now. It's It should hit 300.
It'll hit 300 million, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah. Well, and then Indiana Jones should be on its way to 300.
It's at 250 after this weekend. So.
Kung Fu Panda, it was no big surprise that came in first. And the other thing is it's doing slightly better than Cars did. In terms of the tracking, and Cars was in the high 200s, I think, at the end of the thing. I think everything's holding strong. It's so far, it seems to be a strong summer for movies. You have a couple blips, like Speed Racer, Speed Racer was down at number 14.
You know what movie I think really proved that the summer wasn't off? I think was Sex and the City, where it came in a little bit higher than what people were saying right up to the. Because I think Speed Racer got people doubting, oh my God, is this going to be not a great summer? And then Sex and the City came out and it was like, okay, you know, even a niche audience, which I'm not saying that half of America is a niche audience just because they're female, but even a movie that skews to only half of America necessarily still did very, very well.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and even then, you know, Prince Caspian was seen as a somewhat of a softer movie, but it still
did well.
It's over 100 million easy. And what's funny is the predictions for Hulk that I've seen are pretty much Prince Caspian numbers.
Right.
You know, so, and that one can't have been that much cheaper to make.
I could look that up, see what the budget was. 125 million.
Is it only 125? Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's surprising because there's a lot of CG in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of big CG, a lot of in-frame CG.
Well, and there's also just a lot of big scenes.
Yeah, a lot of big scenes. A lot of action. I liked it. So, but the Hulk is the big wide release this week in 3,500 theaters. It's still not as big of a release as Kung Fu Panda.
No.
So, but it's going to take the weekend, I think.
Oh, easy.
The Happening is getting bad word of mouth. I'm not saying that The Happening's going to tank. It's getting bad word of mouth. It's not getting the greatest reviews. But that kind of bad press will limit it from doing exceedingly well.
Well, I
if
think
that makes any sense whatsoever.
I do think that there's a bit of a people not getting into the M. Night Shyamalan movies as much. Right. His novelty has worn off.
Well, you know what else? You know what else I think?
And it's rated R.
It's rated R, so that's not going to help it. But I think this is the kind of movie that needs people to get out there and say good things about it.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people that just... It's almost like the Star Wars fans or the Indiana Jones fans that will just hate it because everyone else thinks it's cool to hate it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people out there that just dislike M. Night Shyamalan because it's trendy to dislike M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, absolutely.
So the problem is, with a movie like this, if it's not, I guess, screened for smaller press, and and if it's not, they don't do a lot of word of mouth, no one's going to come out and say, oh, wait a second, this is a good movie. You know, whether it's a good movie or bad movie, it needs somebody to actually see it and then come out and say that it's good in order to be really successful. So yeah. I think The Happening's coming in third this weekend. I think Kung Fu Panda is really solid because there's no other family movies coming out. Sure, The Hulk is kind of a family movie. Like, I know your kids loved it at the screening.
Well, they're not. I mean, they love the Hulk parts.
Right, they love the Hulk parts.
It was like Iron Man. Although, I'll tell you, the difference between, in terms of, like, for little kids, the difference between Iron Man and the Hulk is Iron Man was very backloaded with all the Iron Man stuff of him flying and blowing things up. There's a lot of the movie you got to get through before you get to that. Whereas the Hulk, it passed back and forth. There were plenty of Hulk scenes.
It has a different rhythm to it.
Yeah.
So, but I think as much as the Hulk is kind of a family movie, Kung Fu Panda still fills that void for people.
Oh, easy. I don't think you're going to get the family audiences to the Hulk as much.
Yep. So I'm thinking Hulk, Kung Fu Panda, The Happening, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're probably right on that. What's the budget for The Happening?
The film's budget?
Yeah.
Hold on, I can look that up.
Because ultimately...
$44.
No. $44.
$57 million.
$57 million? Yeah. See, but that's actually less than Lady in the Water. And Lady in the Water just... That one got trounced by critics. Did it even come in first at any time?
I don't know. I'll look that up. Maybe.
No, it was never number one.
Okay.
Lady in the Water was never number one. In fact,
it opened to $18 million and made $67 million. It worldwide, it didn't make back its estimated.
It came
budget.
In third after Pirates of the Caribbean and Monster
so
House.
I don't think that he's such a strong draw, which is why, like I said,
it probably
needed more voices behind it. But unfortunately, it doesn't have any.
Well,
so
you know.
We'll
Fox,
see.
Learn your lesson.
We'll see how it goes. But when we come back for our next segment, we're going to go internet only. We're going to do the top 10 superheroes who could take on the Hulk. One of them is going to be me.
From Lindsay's upcoming record, in stores this fall.
Touching me without permission. Don't disobey. Answer to me.
All right, Neil. Well, last week we got a call from a fan. I'm going to call him a fan simply because what else?
He's either a fan or he's decided that he knows more about movies than we do.
Well, it could be both.
Because I guarantee you there are listeners out there that listen to our show on a consistent basis and at least 3 or 4 times during the show go,
idiot!
God, I could totally do it better than they can.
Anyways.
But that's what we're going for here.
Absolutely. Any attention we can get. We're sort of like the bad kid at school. Any attention, good or bad.
Right.
But it was McCall, was his name?
McCall, from Austin, Texas.
From Austin, Texas.
I love Austin, Texas, too.
That's awesome.
They have the coolest movie theater ever is the Alamo Drafthouse.
Okay.
You're going to be there next year for South by Southwest.
I will be there.
So, Austin, look out.
I'll get drunk and hit on indie rock chicks.
You will have accomplished more than I did. I only did the first part.
Just got drunk.
Just got drunk.
Anyways, he called and let us know that he was going to see The Incredible Hulk early.
Right, which is very cool.
Which is awesome. And so he said, hey, call us and give us a review on our voicemail.
Yes.
And he did.
And like a good minion, he did.
Absolutely. And so here are some selections from McCall's review.
Fat guys, what up, man? The Incredible Hulk, I saw it last week. I've had some time to chill out, you know, let my thoughts gather about it. It's really good. I went in with pretty low expectations, to be honest, man. I mean, all I remember about the last Hulk was there was some monster poodles, and he was fighting his dad, who was became a sentient cloud or some shit. Not too into Ed Norton as the Hulk. But all in all, yeah, it was pretty good, man. Lots of action, lots of smashing. Hulk does some signature comic book moves that all the fanboys are going to love, and all the critics are going to say does not make sense. I would say this movie rocks.
Now, if you have an opinion, yes, and you should, that's my opinion, give us a call at 614-388-8735.
Yeah, and leave it on our voicemail.
Leave it on voicemail. If you say the Hulk was great or the Hulk was stupid, let us know what you thought about the happening.
Right, because obviously we can only say that we think that we don't know.
Okay, yeah, we could say that. So give us a ring and give us your own review. We will play it. You heard us do it once. We will do it again.
We promise. Moving on now to
sorry, I had a burp.
Our list of the week, our top 10 list.
Yes.
This is one that I think you pretty much came up with, but I was there in spirit.
You approved.
I approved, obviously. Yes.
It's the in honor of the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk coming out. You have to watch the movie, and if you know anything about the Hulk, you know the matter how Hulk gets, the stronger Hulk gets, and he is reportedly superhero fans will identify him as the strongest superhero.
I mean, ever. He's pretty tough.
Well, it's the whole thing that in the comic books, they sort of don't touch on this in the movie, but actually in the comic books, the madder he gets, the stronger he does get. His strength would be infinite at some point.
Because you could get infinitely mad.
Yes. Yes. And
bullets bounce off of him. I think people always, they think maybe that's a cheesy movie trick. No. The Hulk in the comic books was like invincible.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and but he's very incredible. That's why he's called the Incredible Hulk.
And it is funny watching him Hulk out because it reminds me of my son. He's 5 weeks old, and when he's getting the point, because when if you don't have babies, or if you haven't had babies, you don't know.
I've never sort raised of the stage, any of them.
The emotional stages when they first come out, they're just eating and pooping machines. They'll cry, but it's just sort of like that's what they do.
Right.
Because they're like, they feel hungry and they cry.
Okay.
When they get to be about 4 or 5 weeks old, they start to just barely start to develop emotion. Okay. And then they'll cry. And then they'll realize that you're not feeding them. And they will totally Hulk out and get mad. And it's okay. Funny because the Hulk does that. And he's like, and it just gets even madder. And then they turn red and you have to blow in their face so they will actually breathe. That it's true. Well, they'll still breathe, but whatever. Anyways, that's just my baby story.
The kids, I guess.
Just wandering away.
So anyways, we have the 10 movie superheroes who could take on the Hulk.
And these are from the movies, because if you open it up to the comic books,
there's all kinds of crazy superheroes out there. We could make some up on the show.
It would be like 87,000.
Yeah, I could be like drawing a picture of a stick figure and be like, look, it's Super Stick Figure Man. And he could beat up the Hulk because he's got all the superpowers.
Yeah, whatever. So it has to have been a superhero from a movie. So
okay.
Number 10. Marv from Sin City. If you don't remember who he is, he's
just because he has the Mickey balls.
Rourke. Well, yeah, he would totally lose,
right?
Because it's the Hulk. But he would be, and he's not really a superhero, but he'd be stupid enough to try,
right?
And stubborn enough to really give him a go.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love to see Marv from Sin City.
Yes.
Go after the Hulk.
Yeah. And number 9 is actually someone who could probably put up a good fight because he is also almost infinitely tough and. Just like Marv, very stubborn. We're talking Hellboy.
Yes, Hellboy. And Hellboy's he has the badass. Whole Son of Satan thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
That might help a little bit.
They match wits with their anger.
Yes.
So
number 8, I would say Rogue from the X-Men.
Because she's hot.
Because she's hot, and also it'd be, I don't know if you could call the Hulk a mutant, but she could just steal his powers and become the new She-Hulk.
Yeah, she can, yeah. I mean, that would you be would awesome. Imagine that would cross over.
I think it would be cool.
I mean, they're both from Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. Suppose, that's how it works.
I suppose that's how. I mean, if it was a DC character, she probably wouldn't be able to steal the powers. But number 7 is Christian Bale's Batman. Yeah. Decidedly, George Clooney as Batman. No way.
George Clooney would be crushed.
Val Kilmer was a cool Batman, but not that good. But and also Michael Keaton, kind of wimpy as Batman. But Christian Bale, total badass as Batman.
Yeah, and he's smart too.
Right. He's the
world's
detective.
Greatest detective.
Yeah.
So he'd detect something about the Hulk that he could do.
Right.
To stop him.
Like punch him in the balls. In the Hulk balls.
In the Hulk balls?
Yeah.
In his purple pants. Number six, The Fantastic Four. And this is specifically all a nod to them. The fact, yeah, they'd all have to team up.
Right.
Because everyone's always been like, oh, well, the Thing versus the Hulk. But ultimately, the Hulk would crush the Thing.
The Thing, just a little guy.
Yeah. And they have in cartoons and on the comics, they've all gone together. And there have been several times when the Fantastic Four had to fight the Hulk.
Right.
And, of course, like Sue Storm could put him in a force shield, and he didn't know where he was and all that sort of thing. And, you know, Johnny Storm could burn him.
Right.
So
there you go.
Yes.
Number five is Superman. And I think we've decided that this is the Christopher Reeve version of Superman.
Before he got paralyzed.
Before he fell off the horse, obviously. Not the Brandon Routh.
Yeah.
Because I think the Brandon Routh version of Superman was kind of not only a perv, but a huge pansy. So I think that disqualifies him despite the fact that he's the same character.
Yeah, no, it would
be... We're talking Christopher Reeve Superman.
Christopher Reeve from Superman 1 or 2.
And if Richard Pryor was there, he would win hands down.
Okay.
Just saying.
Sure, whatever.
I'm just saying.
Number four, we're just going to skip that because that's just strange. Number four, Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen, the upcoming film by Zack Snyder.
The film is not out yet.
But he can manipulate matter. So he just could just make the Hulk turn into a daisy.
Right. He could,
poof. I win.
You're gone.
It would be the shortest fight in superhero history.
Yeah, I think fighting Dr. Manhattan is unfair no matter who you are.
Yes.
So number three is the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
Because he's fast?
Well, because he also has the power of that board and he can go through things. So the Hulk can try and smash him. But
he would just smash him through the wall.
Yeah, and then the Silver Surfer could just throw him into Galactus. And if Galactus, can eat planets, he could probably eat the Hulk.
I don't know, though.
You're questioning
this? I'm questioning Galactus's Hulk eating abilities.
Okay. Number two. Jean Grey from the X-Men, because again, here's somebody who, with the powers of her mind, could just turn him into dust.
Right.
She just she'd use her brain, and he would just disintegrate, so he'd lose.
Right.
It would be a short fight.
It would kind of be a short fight. Number one, I'm going to let you explain this, but I must say that this is a character that was voiced by Jason Lee.
Yes.
And an honorable mention should be made to Earl from My Name is Earl. Who could probably defeat the Hulk with his mustache.
Yeah. And Karma.
And Karma. Karma would defeat the Hulk. But go ahead. This is yours.
Syndrome from The Incredibles. If you don't remember who he was the bad guy.
Right.
He was the Jason Lee wild-haired character. And the reason he would defeat the Hulk is the same reason why he almost defeated Mr. Incredible, was he has that zero-point energy that would just levitate him, and he could just put him off into space.
Right.
You know, there again.
And what's the Hulk going to do when he's floating?
Yeah, at the top of the list here are the people who would get around the brute strength.
Right.
And he could be hulked out all he wants. And
he could be as angry as he wants.
He could get bigger and bigger and bigger and be more and more.
He could
more
even
angry.
Be like the Ang Lee Hulk that just keeps getting bigger, like 17 different sizes of Hulk.
Yes.
And it wouldn't matter.
But that's consistent with the comic, though.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And then this honorable mention, I can't even begin to do it as much justice as you will.
Yes. The Waffler from The Mystery Men. Now, if you don't remember who the Waffler was, it was when they had their barbecue and they invited people to come in and audition to be superheroes as part of the Mystery Men. And a little-known comic named Dane Cook played the Waffler. Now, I don't really think that the Waffler would be able to beat the Hulk, but I would love to watch him try and just get squished like a pimple on a boar's ass.
So what you're saying is you just want to see the Hulk beat up Dane Cook.
Yeah, he could just beat up Dane Cook, but I think it would be better maybe if he did Dane Cook from Employee of the Month. That would be cool. I think they could have Dane Cook just from every single movie he's been in trying, and then just the Hulk could crush him.
Right.
And then could then really crush Dane Cook.
Right.
Kind of like Meet the Spartans when they kicked him in the pit of death.
I have a subtopic to talk about. Thank God we're in the internet only segment because this is going to be very semi inappropriate, especially once I introduce the topic and then you start talking about
it. Is this about Miley Cyrus again?
No, it is not about Miley Cyrus. There's a scene in The Hulk that was kind of curious to me, and it's become a topic of conversation on one of our a good friend of ours, io9.com, sci-fi blog.
Is this the whole what would happen if they were having sex?
Can The Hulk not have sex? I mean, obviously, I've seen Mallrats, so I understand the Superman argument about the kryptonite condom, but I don't understand, like, there's a scene, and this is not a spoiler, so I don't even want to hear it, where they're making out, and, you know, his heart rate starts to go up, obviously, and they stop, and he's like, I can't get too excited, because you won't like me when I'm excited, apparently, but I don't understand, is that... you've read the comic books. Can the Hulk?
I actually make have never read much. I haven't read much of the comic books, but
yes.
I would think that if it happened during sex, it would be a slightly traumatic for the woman.
Yeah,
because would everything Hulk up? Hulks up? What would everything Hulk up? Because I mean, you look at the hands and the feet.
Yeah,
and his hands and feet get ridiculously large.
Right, and big hands obviously means big gloves.
Yet he wears those tight pants, and you don't see any junk on the Hulk. So it all may stay the same.
Yeah,
and he just may thrust her through the floor. Although, did you see My Super Ex-Girlfriend?
No.
Oh, that's a good movie. That was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, they have sex in there, and she breaks the bed through the wall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So. I mean, but that's kinky.
So. No, I would just like to have sex with Uma Thurman. That's just, I mean, right. I don't care what part she plays.
So, can I say something else?
I just have one more topic.
I would like to hate on.
Okay, hate on.
Is
it going to be me?
No, it's not you. I hate comic book elitists. Let me tell you a little story.
Wow. Okay. Get on your soapbox.
I'm going to use my favorite word here in a second.
Sasquatch.
We were at the screening of The Hulk. And afterwards, we were talking about Samuel Stearns eventually in the comic books becomes a character with a large brain.
That's right?
Tim Blake Nelson plays Blake in the movie. Nelson, okay. But he eventually becomes a character, and we were trying to figure out what the character's name was. And, you know, I mean, there's just three movie critics there. None of us who had really read The Hulk, you know, like I said earlier, I'm not really a huge fan of The Hulk as far as the character, but I like the movie. So we're sitting there talking. We're like, what was his name? Was his name The Brain? Or, you know, because, I mean, there's been characters called The Brain.
Sure.
Or The Big Brain. And the character's name is The Leader.
Okay.
We found this out because some douchebag, three seats down, looks down at us and goes, his name was The Leader. God, do you guys not even read comic books? And we just look down and go, no, we don't. I hate elitists in any field, but I think sometimes there are comic book people who are like, I cannot believe you didn't know that. That's like me going, hold on, I could pick an obscure movie reference for this.
But he's got to go on the internet to pick up the obscure movie reference. Hold on a second, I will find this once I go on Wikipedia and look up obscure movies. Is that what you're looking up?
That'd be like, that would seriously be like me saying, oh my God, you didn't know that Michael Keaton plays three different characters in Multiplicity and that one of them's name is Steve? Do you even watch movies?
Well, you know what I'd liken this to?
What?
All the people, like when Transformers came out last year.
Right.
And everyone was like so pissed off that Bumblebee was a Camaro.
Right. Well, I mean, but that's a little bit more obvious. I mean, we're talking about obscure references.
Okay.
We're talking about like, well, Optimus Prime didn't have
flames. Okay, now that's obscure.
You know, and you're like, who cares?
You know why Optimus Prime didn't have flames on him?
Right.
Because it was hard to animate in the 80s.
Right. And
it's very hard to animate flames in the it's much easier to have just blocks of red.
Well, and do
blue.
You know why they made flames? Because blue is a terrible color to film with.
That's true.
Because if they made him solid blue, it would be terrible to CG animate him.
Yeah.
So there was a reason why they did that. It wasn't just because Michael Bay thought it was awesome. So I really don't like elitists.
Yeah.
And no. That guy really, I wanted to punch him in the face.
Now, like, I think that it's one thing to sit there and say, like, in like the first Batman from 1989, say, you know what, Alfred would never let Vicki Vale into the Batcave.
Right.
Because even if you watched anything with Batman, Alfred was loyal to the end.
Right.
And he would have never brought Vicki Vale. But then, or to sit there and like there's so much you can nitpick from movies. Like, I know Batman and Superman pretty well because I was a DC guy. But I don't sit there and watch stuff and say, oh, well, you know, actually, Clark Kent's desk was on this side of the room.
Right.
You know?
And you don't criticize other people. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially.
You don't sit there and go, well, you didn't know that Clark Kent's desk was on this other side of the room?
All right, here's my question.
What's your problem, man? Do you not know anything about Superman?
Okay, here's my question. This guy who said it to you?
Yeah.
Was he with anybody? And
it was a dude.
But it was a dude.
With another dude.
It was another dude.
Obviously, he has never had sex.
He probably hasn't had sex. If he's that into The Leader.
I just thought it was so funny. Like,
well, it's
really,
not like dude? He said. It's not like you said there and said, "What's 2 + 2? What is it? What is it?"
Right.
Hello. It's 4.
That'd be like me pulling out some retail strategy knowledge and be like, "What? You've never shopped at a Best Buy before?" Like, What? You're telling us stuff that you can't expect us to know. Obviously, we have never read it. Otherwise, we would not be sitting there for like 10 minutes trying to figure out what the character's name was.
Hate on Neil Miller.
God.
Hate on.
Pisses me off. Let's go to break. And now, Kevin, as we always do, we have to end the show somehow. So we do it by wrapping up in our final segment.
With a party.
No, we're still not having a party. Oh. Although I will say our internet-only segment was kind of fun.
It was fun, so go back and listen to it.
Yes, we did a top 10 list. We did some
We played a user review.
We played a user.
Not a user, a listener.
A listener review.
A user. Users. He may be a user. Well, not that way. No, like a user and abuser. I mean, not that that's any
Whatever.
Better.
We have no idea what's going on.
I know nothing about this.
But anyways, it's time to do the DVD roundup. Thank you.
Can I go get the Indiana Jones whip and do it?
No. We did get the Indiana Jones whip, though.
That's very pretty cool. I originally wanted one for my kids, but then I saw it. I'm like, there
yeah,
is no way.
Kill each other.
Yeah, there's no way I'm putting this in the hand of a five-year-old.
Someone's going to get strangled. So, anywho, I'm going to go with my picks of the week first, and we'll do the yours. And then we've got like the ultimate stinker this week.
Yes.
I think this is the movie that we both have hated the most together. You know,
it's so bad, it's kind of unifying.
Right. It's so bad, it makes us agree. But my two picks are two films that I have not seen, but I am very interested based on all of the buzz. The first one is The Grand, which I've just heard nothing but good things.
That's about poker, isn't it?
It's about poker. Mm. And it was directed...
Does it have any nudity in it?
No, it's got David Cross in. I don't know if it's got nudity. It's got David Cross in. I can't remember who directed it, but...
somebody who's nude.
Hold on.
Well, you're going to look it up.
I'm okay. going to look it up. I need to know. Oh, Zach Penn, the guy who writes all of the superhero movies. Like, he wrote The Hulk.
Oh, okay.
He directed it. I think it was his first...
How come this isn't about superheroes, though?
It's because he doesn't like to do stuff about superheroes.
Well, he writes superheroes all the time. What's his problem? And he gets paid big bucks. Do you know how much writers get paid
oh,
in Hollywood?
Yeah, I'm sure.
For crying out loud.
But this is one of his first major releases, although it kind of went straight to DVD.
And we see but how that went.
My other one is The Signal, which is a kind of a psychological horror flick. For those of you who are interested in The Happening this weekend, you might just want to go rent The Signal instead.
Okay.
So, not that I can back that up by saying
not
that
you've
I've
seen... either. You've seen neither movie.
I've seen neither, but I've heard so many good things about The Signal from everybody I know and a lot of people that I trust, so... Mm. That's all I have to say about
it. Oh, is that it? Is it my turn?
Sure.
Okay, first one is The Bucket List. Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, critically ill patients.
Yeah.
Who then decide to do a whole bunch of crazy stuff.
I would
stuff.
Just like you to know that beating you at racquetball was on my bucket list, so I can check that off.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because you look like you were going to die in the middle. You could have had that heart attack in the second game. But I'll tell you, it was kind of just an excuse to get Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman to act together, and they're great in it.
Right.
And it's awesome because Rob Reiner has finally made a good movie again.
Why not?
Because I don't think he's had a good movie since, like A Few Good Men or something like that?
No idea.
He did stuff like Alex and Emma. And,
right.
You know.
Sure.
North.
Alex and Emma wasn't bad. I kind of like that movie.
It wasn't awful. My biggest note on that is that's...
Kate Hudson's hot.
I had my wife with me. And she went into labor with her second child during the movie.
That's a memory.
Which was interesting. And it's not like her water broke and sprayed over everybody or anything like that. She just
thank
went.
You
she
for,
just,
thank you for just taking it over the line for
she
me.
Just started having contractions.
Right. And your second pick of the week.
My second pick. Let's move on. To Jumper.
Mannequin Skywalker,
which I actually.
And Mace Windu.
I recall, Anakin Skywalker and Mace Windu going toe-to-toe. When it was reviewed on Fat Guys at the Movies, I was in L.A.
Right.
And you and David Metzger from Bullseye.com
right.
reviewed it. So.
Right, and we were both pretty lukewarm to it.
Yeah.
It was just okay.
But you know what? I liked it. For me, it was one of those that I'm like, you know what? Because when I saw the trailer, I'm like, wow, this is not going to be good.
It's got Aiden Christensen in it.
And then I saw it. I go, you know what? If you take out all like sort of like the talky dialogue scenes between... I mean, you had these two vacuum points of energy.
Right.
Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson, neither of whom can act, but both are very attractive.
Yeah.
And they just suck the drama out of it. But in terms of like the action scenes.
Doug Liman's a cool director.
Awesome.
Always give it to him. And I actually heard yesterday, I was talking to somebody who had seen the special features on the DVD and said that a lot of the special features are really good. I have not yet put it into my DVD player.
You have it?
No, I have it. And I didn't. put it in the DVD player.
Well, I could watch it for you. I'll review it. It'll go on the site.
Why not?
Anyways, let's go to the stinker.
The stinker, Funny Games.
Wow.
The 2007 remake.
Yeah, I can't say the German version or the Austrian version.
Although,
I haven't seen it.
You could make this thing in Chinese and it would still make no sense.
Yeah, well, it's
like
just,
it would make I don't know. I think it makes sort of makes sense. English.
It sort of makes sense until like the minute 40 mark, and then you're like,
It's just one of the most egotistical, just pretentious,
and with an arrogant director who told me in an interview, I'm like, well, what are you trying to say? Oh, I don't want people. I don't want to give a message here. I'm like, it's totally a message.
Yeah.
So if I could have slapped him through the phone. I would have
made for a better interview.
It would have been fun because I would have had to slap the interpreter because she was getting annoyed at my questions too. Because nice. I was like, why didn't they use text messaging? But and then she's like, I don't understand the question. I'm like,
why didn't they text somebody? Why did they use text?
Well, the phones were broken. I go, no, the microphone was broken. He got a call out. God. Oh, I hate
that
movie.
These people idiots. Why did they deserve to die?
I just need to.
But anyways, I will totally agree with that stinker. If Funny Games. Unless you want it for free off of filmschoolrejects.com, it is not worth getting. So let's do our review wrap-up. We had The Happening, which neither one of us saw because they decided that apparently Columbus, Ohio is not the place to screen it.
Preemptive suck.
Preemptive suck goes your way. And The Incredible Hulk, which I think we're pretty much...
Rocks.
Totally rocks. We both enjoyed The Hulk. We both enjoyed the crap out of The Hulk. Can I say crap on the radio?
Yeah, you can.
I think I can.
I didn't enjoy any crap.
Okay, cool. Next week, we've got Get Smart and the Mike Myers epic, The Love Guru, which is highly controversial in that it's going to be interesting to see. So also, if you'd like to get a hold of us in between now and then, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. As you know, we're on iTunes, or give us a call, 614-388-8735. That's all I know.
Adios.
That's good stuff. I like it. I like it. Let's do it. Do it all day long.